I missed my mommy. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with Thought for Today. I missed my mommy. You know, every time I go anyplace or do anything, I used to be with my mommy. I would go with her. Dr. Barley, that's quite a little while ago. Well, in my heart, in my mind, it's like an instant ago. It's not a long time ago. It's just an instant ago. And Mother and I often went many places together. And we did many things together. We were good friends. And it was always a joy. And there were evenings, five of us kids and Mom and Dad, we'd sit down at the table to eat. And Mother would be serving, and Mother would be preparing the food, and Mother would be running here and there and getting what was forgotten and taking care of all the details. And this went on for quite a while. But as us five children were coming to our senses, we realized that we had to contribute something to the family dining process, to the family eating process, even though Mother made the meals. And so we did that. And we began to realize what things Mother would forget. Mother would always forget the same thing, you know. She'd always forget to put a ladle on for the soup, or she'd always forget to put on special glasses for the juice that we were going to have or something, you know. And so that'd be something you'd have to go back and do afterwards. Well, after a while, one of us kids would always remember that, and we'd dash and get it for Mom, you know. We got it from Mom, you know, not for us. It was used for serving our soup, but we got it from Mom because she forgot it. And then, as this went on, pretty soon, we were doing all the little things that Mom would normally forget. And Mom would sit down at the table with us earlier. And pretty soon, Mom was sitting at the table with us almost the entire meal. And it was such a privilege, such an honor to have her there, because we were a family. Up until that time, Mother was a servant, and Mother was the person who helped, and Mother was the person who was always scurrying around, doing all the necessary things to make life very beautiful and very wonderful for us. But as we children grew up, 4, 5, 6 years old, as we got older, and we were awake, we had our eyes open, and we noticed that there were things that needed to be done, and we always thought, wouldn't it be nice to make it easier for Mama? Wouldn't it be nice to make it more comfortable for Mama? And so, in the process, we all started participating in doing things at mealtime, and doing things to make mealtime a very happy and wonderful circumstance. Now, Art, our neighbor, told us he had 11 children in his family, and that each child was given a responsibility on a rotating basis. And each child had to help set the table and do all these things. But the interesting thing, I thought, for Art, I just loved him. Each child, no matter how old they were, 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, cooked the meal when it was their turn. And Art said when he was 8 years old, one of his jobs that he'll never forget was that he had to cook the Thanksgiving dinner. And it was not just Thanksgiving dinner, he had to cook 2 turkeys. Two full turkeys. He said he didn't have to make the stuffing. He said that was good. But 2 full turkeys. Now, here he is in his 50s, and he remembers how he was a part of his family all of his life. He remembers the family togetherness, the eating togetherness, the sharing. And I said, didn't your mama do anything? And he said, sure. She was there to guide us, and she was there to help us. And Mama probably did a lot of things that now we don't remember because it was so subtle And Mama would go to each one of us, 11 kids, and each one doing something. Someone had to be the guiding light of that ship, you know. And obviously Mama was the guiding light, but Mama sat with them and ate with them. And they pulled Mother's chair out and pushed it in for her. They were sure that Mother always had whatever was necessary, that she had her coffee, or she had her tea, or she had her water, or she had whatever it was that she wanted. But Mother was the guest of honor at their home, and they served her as the family. Now, they also served themselves, and they all ate together in one harmonious group. And it was a joy that Art will never forget. His mother lives yet, and she is a very fantastic woman. And I don't know, I didn't ask him how many of the brothers or sisters are living, but most of them are living too. This day and age, people live longer and healthier lives. And what do you think was, and Art, as he sits at our table, he comes and joins us for a Sunday evening dinner oftentimes because his family are away. And he's our neighbor, so we invite him in. We're just neighborly people. And we love him. And he sits there, and he belongs. He is not an outsider. He is not somebody who doesn't fit in with who we are. And he brings up the darndest subjects that are so intensive and so interesting and so wise that we listen and we listen and we say to ourselves, what a wonderful idea. What a wonderful concept. What grand issues he's bringing up. And some of them are really things that we often thought about, but we hadn't thought quite in that direction about it, because his background and his philosophy is just a little different. But it is wonderful. So, the idea of a family eating together as a family is really something quite special. And we've been practicing having a five-star restaurant here, where some of our people play different roles, the waiter, the cook, the maitre d', and so forth, and we're being real snazzy about it, and good, but it's almost losing its fun. And it's losing its fun because of one thing. We're not all sitting together, and we're not all eating harmoniously and joyfully together, where Ellen, by the time the meal is just about over, she comes out of the kitchen with the last course, and it's no fun. I mean, she's not there. She's not part of our group. And Beatrice, she's when she's the maitre d', as whoever else is too, they're dashing back and forth, and they're getting different things, and they're being obsequious almost. And being so obsequious, they are, Brian, being so obsequious, they are kind of difficult. And we really miss having Ellen at the meal. We miss having Bea at the meal, because Ellen is out cooking. Bea is out serving. And if it's Ingeborg's turn to serve, then she gets out serving. And if it's Anita, then Anita's dashing around like a chicken with her head cut off, you know, trying to make sure that everybody's got everything they need and having everything done perfectly. And, of course, when Sylvia is making the breakfast or the lunch, we never see her. You know, we're sitting at the table and enjoying ourselves, and she's out there in the kitchen working like a slave. Well, I have made the suggestion, if you want to cook while we're eating, you know, then just cook on the burner out in the patio, because we have a nice stove out there, and you could cook on that. But no, Ellen would rather be incognito during most of the meal and let us have all the wonderful fun of the conversation. So when we get rid of Ellen and Beatrice, and then Sylvia and Anita and Ingeborg and I and the dogs have a great conversation, it's just wonderful. And we're really glad to be rid of them, because they really spoiled everything by bringing in their own attitudes, their own attitudes and their own thoughts. But no, that's not true. My mother had five of us kids, and it wasn't long before us kids were trained so that she could be at the table with us all the time. Art's mother was a silly woman, 11 children, my goodness sakes, busy girl too. But she subtly trained the children, not, I guess really not so subtly, she trained the children, all 11, to make the meals, to cook the meals, to set the table, to take care of all the details, and have it all done, and then they could all sit at the table. And mother sat at the table. And they all served her, and they all were one family, eating, sharing, and doing together. So, I'd like to see our family eating, sharing, and doing together. I'd like to see Bea and Ellen sitting at the table, and Sylvia, too. And Sylvia, too, from the breakfast. She makes the breakfast and lunch, and Ellen makes the supper. But I'd like to see all of our family sitting at the table together, eating, sharing, and having a good time together. Whereas if we're going to be so busy serving the meal and acting like a five-star restaurant and never being available to chat with and talk with and enjoy your company, it's no fun. Exactly. It's no fun. Well, my mother had it pretty well organized. With her five kids, pretty soon mother was always sitting at the table and the kids were doing virtually everything. Although mother always cooked. She always made the meal because that was her pride and joy. I don't think she would have been happy if she couldn't have been at that stove and whomping up something for all of those kids. And I think that Art's mother must have been quite special to let the kids do the cooking herself. And that's really an amazing situation to be able to do that. So this is my desire and my goal, and I will be open and receptive to see what happens. Now, how about your family? Do you all sit together and eat at your family, or do you stand at the kitchen counter and gobble a cup of coffee and a morning croissant or something and then off to work? I imagine that's what Stephen Stressley does. Stephen Stressley just grabs something and off to the restaurant. And in the restaurant, he's served a cup of coffee and a croissant and the newspaper. And so he's sitting there reading the newspaper while he's eating. Well, now, what an unhappy situation. Filling his mind with all the garbage of the day, although he says, I just read the sports, but filling his mind with all the garbage of the day, because he knows, everything that's going on. He knows when there was an earthquake here in July in where it was, you know, Los Angeles. And I didn't even know about it. Well, my goodness sakes, you know, what interest is that to him in Switzerland to know about an earthquake in California? You know? Why fill your mind with all the interesting things going on in the world when you've got enough things to think about yourself? You have enough things to think about yourself. And Henry wrote a very lovely little email this morning, and in the email he said, waste disposal and trash is quite extensive, and people just continually dump, dump, dump. But they don't dump the most important thing in the world, and that's the old thoughts. The thoughts that say they can't do it, the thoughts that say life's a problem. And when you dump these old thoughts and get rid of these old thoughts, then you can live in the new. And this is what we want to do around our table. Live in the new. Talk about beautiful thoughts. Talk about beautiful ideas and share how much we love ourselves and how much we love each other. Because that's what it's all about. So, have a lovely day and know that you are very special in my heart, in my world, and in my life. And I would like to think that you're very special in your world, your heart, and your life. But know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you.